This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, live all around the world on the free Odyssey app.
A couple of quick things. We're a bit out of order right now. Matt George is going to join us in about 15 minutes. None of his time will get cut short at all. Just to follow up on the question, I don't know who to give credit to, but you answered it. Oh, Germs asked it. Best concert or music festival you've been to. Man, there's two that immediately come to mind, and I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. A Renaissance tour was pretty amazing.
I can imagine.
That Renaissance tour was special. When I was younger, I saw Babyface and Boyz II Men together. This wasn't State Fair Boyz II Men. This was like the album two. Mm-hmm. Like it was that Boyz II Men and Babyface. We were talking about Babyface at the Hard Rock. Babyface, he did TLC.
Yeah.
And he did all them joints that he wrote. Wow. That show was phenomenal.
That's why I want to go see it.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah,
those are the two that immediately come to mind. But obviously, I don't know that I can, even the 444 tour, as much as I had fun with that. And the Damn tour, which Kendrick Lamar threw on my birthday.
Can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, it was, that was an incredible show.
Man.
That was an incredible show.
Did you have is there one summer jam or something that sticks out that was like, yo, this was crazy?
Like KSFM mm-hmm. did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it's the Rihanna one.
Mm.
And Rihanna wasn't the headline.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, so I never worked a summer jam.
I don't know when they stopped doing that.
Yeah, I did. I did the Cinco de Mayo joints, and I remember the first one, like Lisa was like the headliner, but they started to get bigger after that. Sir Mix-a-Lot came through one year. That's the show Rihanna was on. Nick Cannon was on that show.
Gigolo spinning. Well, that wasn't the party song.
Well, boy, it's been a tough last hour here on this program. But and the other thing I want to say, shout out Donnell Rawlings, man.
Oh,
what a
sure,
phenomenal
man.
45-minute conversation or whatever it was, man. What a pro. That conversation, by the way, I have at least three notes. We could have probably gone another 30 minutes.
For sure.
Easily gone another 30 minutes. But he's performing tonight. So he literally just landed and came here.
Yeah.
He was and I'm so glad he showed up early because it gave us more time to hang out together. That Rihanna one will always be really, really memorable for reasons I've told the story in the past, how I had to cover time for her. Some of Nick Cannon's interesting remarks backstage. Just say it
man,
at that.
Come on, man. Nick.
But it was fun. Yeah, those shows were always fun. I hope we get the opportunity to do those again. Our introduction to KSFM was the Eric Bellinger concert mm-hmm. at Concerts in the Park at Caesar's Shop. Thinking like, man, multiply this by like 20.
Man, I want to get in the Golden One Center, man. I ain't Thunder Valley was really cool too. That was a lot of fun.
Thunder Valley was, yeah.
I want to get the gold one.
There was my boy. I was so I told people this that night. My boy had a gleam in his eye the first time we walked out there, and like people were coming in, and it was like it's cool. But the first time we were out there, and the crowd was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked over at my guy like, oh, yeah, this is where my man's supposed
to
be.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. Now, what you didn't know is I had that gleam in my eye because I couldn't see.
Well, that's – no, I did know that. I did know that. I saw
– what's going on?
The only thing I could see at Thunder Valley was Leezy talking to a baddie. That's all I could see. Couldn't see.
That was like clockwork.
I could hear 5,000 people, but all I could see
was
is Leezy on the floor with his camera talking to whatever baddie was 5 feet away from him.
Same thing at A Night for Lovers. I think people are out there. I can't see anything. This light is right in my face.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Oh, there's Leezy talking to another group.
And yes, Leezy was talking to that's what I did see at Night for Lovers. Leezy is the baddie getter.
Leezy got game, boy. We all think he's funny and he's got his little HAL. Nah, Leezy be talking to the Flo Rida's dancers.
He did. Got a follow on IG and everything.
Leezy and I, or KC and I, we were sitting here talking. It was the Flo Rida show. We was just kind of just like waiting for what are we supposed to do next? Yeah. And we look over and kind of elbow KC, and Leezy's got his phone out. The little baddie dancer got her phone out, and they're, you know, obviously exchanging numbers. Like, all right, Leezy.
No,
we see you, boy.
Look at Scooter. Scooter, it's far more advanced than this, but this is funny. He says, hey, girl, you like Chipotle?
You know I keep that thing on me, girl. Wild.
Yeah, man. But no, that's I was a spectator for this one, but I remember they did a summer jam at CRC. I think it was Genuine 112, Rome.
Ooh.
And there was and this was the summer.
I always
Rome
forget.
Song
I belong was, to you. Yeah, yeah.
That was the summer that song like came out. And it was somebody else that was there. I can't remember. But I remember Rome came on and he had I Belong to You and he was going through all his other stuff or whatever. And then the beat drops for I Belong to You. And everybody, yeah. And he goes, whoa, whoa, not yet. Play the other one, buddy. Play the other one, not yet. And then they were like, oh. He's like, no, just give me one more. I got one more. And we're like, come on, Rob, come on. So he finished that nondescript song and then went to.
What was this again?
I think it was a summer jam.
Give me that lineup one more time.
112, Genuine.
Okay. I have Rome, a vague recollection of this.
A woman.
But I wasn't there. I have a vague recollection CRC. Of that. But yeah. I wasn't there.
This was probably 96, 97, something like that.
Mm.
Good times.
Yes,
summer jams need to come back. We're working on it. We're trying.
112 ain't out enough.
You can get on out here.
Yeah, 112. That first album.
Woo. Woo. The first and the third albums are my favorite.
You could put the first album on, and Young D-Lo did, because this was before Playlist. You can put that album on and let it go.
Yeah, yay. That, not J. Cole.
Yes, that's right, yay. That's what you use. You don't put on Forest Hills.
Forest
Hills. Idiot. You guys are so
come on,
stupid.
Girl. I'm trying to get you in the mood. Let me put on Apparently.
Let me put this middle child on. All right, bro.
Oh, man.
It's the ultimate slow record. Ultimate slow record. I don't know, man. I'm kind of riding high after that Donnell Rollins conversation. I don't know what to do now.
Man,
a couple hours away from the draft. Detroit
the draft
is popping.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I'm saying.
Eminem's like Mr. NFL now.
He really is.
He was in all the spots with Roger leading up to this.
He really is, man. They NBA need to do this, bro.
Shout out Packer fans out there. But, yeah, Detroit showed up
NBA
for this.
And I'm not saying if the NBA did this, it would look exactly like this. Like, the NFL is just different. But the NBA, they should – they should do this. You know, they used to
do it. It just dawned on me. Could you imagine? Downtown Sacramento?
Uh-oh, I know where you're going.
In the middle of June?
Oh, well. Well.
The damn shame what happened to our first round pick. He died of heat stroke.
Oh, well. I'm trying to think of what was going on. Was that the team or not? Didn't they do that? Didn't they have a draft party?
They had a draft party. Yeah.
That was the Kings.
Seven people
right?
went. Yeah.
Oh, God. I was just making sure.
Yeah, people out there dying.
It was hella hot. I thought you were going to say, hella can you hot. Imagine if they had this in Sacramento when they passed on Luka?
So I was there. I don't remember the reaction being as bad as
it
you
wasn't.
Do.
It wasn't bad, but it was mixed.
It wasn't.
It
yeah,
was
it, was
wasn't
not,
like
it wasn't
like super
a pop.
Cheers.
Yeah,
yeah,
you didn't get a pop.
But it wasn't
like when I was at a draft party. I was at a draft party. I just keep talking over you. Sorry. I'm gonna get my point in.
I talked the whole time to Donnell
Robbins. Yeah, that was a great conversation though. I was at a draft party when De'Aaron got drafted. Now I wasn't at the arena. I was at.
They had didn't they have like
I don't know where
didn't
I
they have
was.
Like three or four different spots.
Yeah, I was somewhere.
I think I know you.
It was me and Dave.
I was just about to say.
It was me. I can't remember
that was
where
like
we
8:15
were.
L or something.
Was it?
I wasn't. I was still living in L.A., but I saw everything through Twitter. I think it was like 8:15 L.
Yeah, it was. De'Aaron got a pop.
Yeah, it went
oh
crazy.
My God, De'Aaron got a pop.
Yeah. Yeah, De'Aaron, and here he is.
Yeah, man.
8 years later.
Yeah, man.
He's here. He's talking about Sacramento, you deserve to be in the playoffs. We're going to get you there. I believe him because he told us that before. He said, we're going to get this done.
Yeah.
And he got us there. So I believe him this time. Did you see the shoes? Did you see the little? I know you saw the little
commercial
thing.
I saw it. Yeah.
Those aren't his shoes, technically.
Okay, that was the next question. Yeah.
Those are like Presto-like Under Armours. That they used him for the campaign. Those aren't the Fox ones.
Okay.
I think they're called the UA Phenom or something like that.
So do we haven't confirmed Fox ones are a thing?
That I think he said that a year ago.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he said that.
Was it in the interview with Steph?
It either was or was in a write-up interview
where
he said, you know, the plan is to have a shoe probably for the start of next season.
Got you.
That's the plan. And that was like at the beginning of this year, he was saying, because people thought, you know, maybe it would happen this year. He's like, nah, not right now. I said, I think the plan is probably for the beginning of next year. So, and the whole point when I was talking about that is they're going to go crazy in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to go immediately. They'll swipe an Air Max 1s. I don't know for sure. I don't know what they did in St. Louis or in Boston or in Phoenix or anything else like that. But Fox, Tatum, and Booker had specialty shoes, and I think Fox easily sold out the quickest and the most.
I think his shoes will go crazy because Steph's shoes really popular. So I think there's going to be, for people who rock with the Curry, the Steph shoe, a curiosity. How do these compare to those?
Yeah.
And do we have another line of shoes to choose from?
They've died down a little bit, though, I think.
The Stephs?
Stephs, yeah. Steph kind of died down. He was white hot when he was 15,
16. Because it was new, right?
And stuff like that, yeah. He was white hot. It's kind of died down a little bit. And the Bay Area is probably still going crazy, but.
Yeah, Sabrina came along.
Sabrina going crazy.
Sabrina came along.
And somebody was talking about that. I think it was All the Smoke. And they were talking about the shoes and who's on top right now, Adidas or Nike or whatever. And they were just talking about, like, people, because it was All the Smoke, because Matt was like, I'm at these AAU games, and these kids, these boys, Sabrina ones everywhere.
Yeah.
They rocking them everywhere. So there's that. And then he said somebody else kind of picked up the slack, but he said, it's Nike, but Adidas is doing their thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Live all around the world on the free Odyssey app.
Matt George having some fun here during the commercial break.
I'm so glad to be back here with my family.
Now, Brian Kelly on our TV. We're discussing draft coverage, of course. Matt George, ABC 10, they have television draft coverage beginning tonight. And ESPN 1320 has you covered on the radio side. Immediately following D'Lo and KC, we'll head out to draft coverage. We welcome in our buddy Matt George here of ABC 10 and Locked On Kings, and had to hit the pause button on some of our a real traditional pause button, well, not the way you delinquents use it.
Hey, Donnell had one.
Yeah, well, Donnell, he had a couple. but he had one that everybody caught. Matt was ready to cook, talking about Malik Monk. We were reminiscing. Matt and I were actually together the night De'Aaron was drafted at that watch party with Dave and in our former life there. And you know, what an atmosphere it was that led to a conversation about Malik Monk. And, you know, Matt, I know you were as upset as we were and other, you know, Kings media and Kings fans were who watched Malik Monk on a night-to-night basis yesterday. But you have some thoughts on what yesterday might all mean for Malik Monk moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I did a segment on this on yesterday's podcast after I was done screaming about Malik not winning Sixth Man of the Year for God knows why. But I was trying to think, like, what does this actually mean for the negotiations for his free agency? And in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't mean much. Like, any competent general manager out there is going to look at Malik and go, I know how good he is. He doesn't need the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award to attract my attention. Malik has a market with all third NBA teams. Now, the teams that are actually stand a chance, I think, of taking away from Sacramento probably aren't even looking at him as a sixth man. They're probably looking at him as a starter. And Malik has been very vocal about, look, I want to start. He said it in his exit interview. I want to start. I want to be a starter. But if my role here in Sacramento, if I'm needed off the bench, that's what I'm going to do. I think Malik did a fantastic job over these 2 years. And we know Malik wasn't afraid to speak his mind. So we don't know if there's any conversations behind closed doors of him saying, Mike, you're misusing me. You got to start me. But Malik did his job literally to the best of the entire league and didn't get the recognition for it. So if I'm Malik, like, part of me is looking at not winning that award yesterday, not winning that award over the last 2 years and going, like, what good is coming off the bench for me? Like, I'm doing it to the best of my ability to a historic pace. He's the first guy in 35 years to lead the league in bench scoring in two straight years and not be named Sixth Man of the Year in a single one of them. That award has been driven by scoring since I've been alive, and now suddenly scoring doesn't matter compared to your team wins when you're on a team with three stars ahead of you in Minnesota. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. The goalposts move, unfortunately, because of the name across the chest of Malik Monk. So, like, I don't think this is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back of, yeah, I'm leaving Sacramento and I'm going to Orlando or San Antonio because they're going to start me. But if I'm Malik, I feel very justified in conversations that my agent's having going, no, wherever I go, I'm going to be a starter. I demand to be a starter because that's where, one, I think I'll get the recognition that I deserve, because that matters to Malik. Malik's not like De'Aaron. De'Aaron could care less about these awards. He genuinely could. Like, I'm sure part of De'Aaron wants the recognition, like being named an all-star for the first time, winning clutch player of the year. But Malik, he's open and honest. Like, I want this award. I want this recognition, because for Malik, his journey is extremely different, right? Coming to the league in Charlotte, nearly being out of the league, going LA to resurrect his career, then taking a contract that he outplayed within a number of weeks, a 2-year contract he outplayed in weeks in Sacramento. Malik's value is never going to be higher than it is right now. So I think about that, and as optimistic as I'm trying to be about the Kings retaining Malik, because I feel like they have to. Like, if they don't, they're left with $12 million, not the 17 and a half because of his early bird rights. They have essentially $12 million as of right now, as I think I'm understanding this correctly, to go out and replace him. We already know how tough of a free agency destination Sacramento is. Plus, I don't know if there's a player for $20 million that can replace what De'Aaron Fox, or excuse me, what Malik Monk did for the Sacramento Kings over these past 2 years. So the Kings losing Malik, I think, would be pretty much a disaster. That being said, if I'm Malik Monk, and the team that's really always been on my radar is the Orlando Magic. The Magic contact me when their run is over and say, hey, you can be our starting point guard. You can get 20 plus million a year, no state income tax in Orlando. If I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm encouraging my guy to go. And I, even me, I'm like, Malik, you kind of got to take that, because the money plus the role plus a really, really good team. Now, if San Antonio is the team that comes in with 20 plus million, hey, you get to play for Pop and play with Victor Wembanyama, but you're probably 2 years out from really making any sort of noise. Maybe I consider taking less money and staying Sacramento in that case. But Orlando is the team to take Malik out of Sacramento and really give him that offer that he can't refuse.
Well, here's what we just learned. Matt George is a bad friend. Here's what I do. Because you took the perspective, you took the perspective of De'Aaron Fox. You said, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, here's, I'm hey, you got to take that role. It's a bigger role. There's two things at play here. The number one thing, Malik sits down to talk with Monty McNair in this front office, and he wants to start. Guess what? Malik is starting next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you figure out you can, unless you truly believe you can replace him in some other way, shape, or form, and that person will be happy to come off the bench, hey, salute. I think we all know that that's not realistic.
Right.
So if Malik wants to start, if that is a deal breaker for him with the team that he goes to, guess what? Guess who your starting two guard is in Sacramento? Two, and this is what Kenny and I have been talking about for weeks. If I'm De'Aaron Fox, here's what I'll say to him. Hey, that is good money right now. And it also said, you said 20 plus. So what it really depends, it's not the 20 that matters, it's the plus that matters.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you talking 25 or are you talking 21? Because if you're talking 21, are you even talking 22? A little dicey when you start.
Yeah,
It gets a little dicey when you get up to 22. But if you're in the vicinity of 20 or 21, and we'll go 21 and a half, where are you getting your next contract from? Do you believe you can sign a multi-year extension with Orlando and this whole thing is going to vibe and it's going to work and you're going to be the difference maker there? Or can you sign your next contract with us here being the difference maker here? While I think this is a smidge bit of a fabrication, it's in its simplest form, it's accurate. You got hurt, we went to hell. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'd say. Again, there's other circumstances. You got hurt, we went to hell. You are important to everything that we're doing. I'm selling him on his long-term future in Sacramento rather than just – I'm selling him on his next two contracts in Sacramento rather than his next one contract in Sacramento.
And real quick to that point as well, the other sweetener I might put on that is to get to that next contract and get to a big contract on the next one, you're probably going to have to average close to 18 to 20 points a game. You think you're going to be able to do that in Orlando with Paolo there, with the way they play, Franz Wagner. You think you're going to be able to get to 18 to 20 points per game there or here in Sacramento, where you'll be the starting two guard. And you've seen here in Sacramento, come the fourth quarter, if you've got it cooking, or hell, sometimes when you don't, we're going to look to you to finish the game.
Yeah,
we're going to give you the rock and let you go there. And that's how you get to that. You got 15 off the bench. You can get another 3 to 5 by being a starter and getting another 10 minutes a night here in Sacramento. You know that. And that's what's going to get you to another 100 mil or 80 or 90 mil on that next contract. See, we convinced them.
See, here's what I wonder, though, is
just
how
keep Matt out of the conversation and we'll get him to stay here.
I'm just trying to, like, if
Matt's
I'm
offering Malik, Disney World passes and everything down there in Orlando.
Hey, don't be bringing – that's – you're crossing the line bringing Disney involved
sorry.
Now.
Sorry, Matt.
That's where we start to fight. I wonder how receptive Malik is to that, though. Like, we're all completely spitballing of what we think the motivation is to Malik. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to assume, based off of his NBA journey, which I factor into this maybe more than I should, money is going to be important. Mm-hmm. because I don't think, like you guys talking about his contract after this, and I think I'd like to believe Malik and his agent are thinking that far ahead because they believe he's going to be that good of a player. I don't know. There's no guarantee that his worth is ever going to be higher than it is right now. That's why I've completely dismissed the idea of, and it could still happen. If I'm Malik, I'd stay as far away from this scenario as possible. People have floated around the, hey, Kings sign him to a 1 year, 17 and a half or whatever million dollar contract and say, hey, we got you next year. Anything can happen. Malik's bet on himself for so long. He's like, hell no. Like my value is never going to be higher than this. It's kind of the same way I think about that conversation. If De'Aaron approaches him and the Kings approach him and go, everything you guys just said, it could be true, but the motivation of everything Malik's been through to get that biggest payday now and also put himself in a position to where, let's be honest, guys, the Magic play in the East, the Kings play in the West. Like, if he's the starting point guard with Paolo Banchero, sure, maybe his numbers and opportunity aren't as major as in here in Sacramento, but that's because I don't think it needs to be in Orlando compared to Sacramento. Now, I don't think putting Malik in Orlando says, okay, the Magic are a title contender, put them up there with the Bucks and the Celtics of the world, but I think they're closer to that than the Kings are just bringing him back. And I think Malik can look around and go, I got my boys here. I got a coach here that I love. I love the fans. I love the city. This team's still a good ways away from actually legitimately competing for a championship. So trying to put ourselves in the head of Malik Monk, I guess I'm mentally preparing myself to be okay with his departure. I'm not going to be okay from the Kings' perspective because, again, I don't know how this organization replaces him. But from the Malik Monk perspective, I can't be mad at the guy for saying, I've put in my dues, my journey has been this, I'm taking the opportunity and the bag in Orlando, best of luck Sacramento. I can't fault him for that if that happens.
No, you're being real, man. You're keeping it a stack. And you got to talk to everybody this past week, exit interviews, players, coaches, general manager, and they were all kind of asked a Malik question in some form or fashion. I haven't said this on the air. I kind of got the sense that they're doing kind of what Matt is doing, like bracing themselves for Malik to leave.
Yeah.
Is that the same vibe that you got whenever somebody asked them about Malik Monk?
Yeah, when I was in New Orleans, De'Aaron, after the loss to the Pelicans, was asked about Malik. And De'Aaron, I thought, answered the question in a very similar way to kind of the conversations have been going about it this past week, which is just like, this is a business, money talks, we'd love to have him back, he's my best friend, but if he goes, like, we support him no matter what. And I think a lot of fans heard that and did not react well to it, which was strange to me, because I heard it for what it was. I was like, De'Aaron's just saying, telling it like it is. So I don't think I genuinely believe that Malik is on the fence, and I don't think Malik is leaning one way or the other right now, because there's nothing on the table yet. There's no, I'm sure conversations are having against NBA rules because duh, but I don't think Malik, there's not a number on the table for Malik to, like, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of, he's sitting at a table, there's two pieces of paper in front of him. One has the Kings logo on it and says all the list of benefits and 17.5, and one has the Magic logo on it, all the list of benefits, but at the top it says, let's say 21 and a half. I just don't know how Malik doesn't go the Orlando route. If I'm putting myself in Malik's situation, it just makes more sense for me to go the Orlando route. But I agree. Like, I think what was made perfectly transparent from Monty's press conference, Mike's press conference, and especially all the player press conferences is that Malik is loved here. He's needed here. And Malik has all the power in the world here. And even Sam Amick asked Malik about that. Like, how good does that feel? Malik's like, yeah, I've never been in this position before. Like, it feels pretty good. Like, Malik is truly holds all the cards for the first time in his career, which is really, really exciting. He kind of got a taste of it when the Kings initially signed him, but his value wasn't very high, and the Lakers couldn't afford to keep him.
Yeah.
So very different circumstance to right now. I think what I took away the most from at least the players talking about it is Herter, Domas has been, I love Domas, how honest he's been about this entire thing. He's been like, yeah, I'm talking to people. We desperately want him back. But Keegan Murray's even said it, like, these guys love Malik, support Malik no matter what, and are going to have his back no matter what he does. I actually asked Malik what that meant to him. So I don't think they're necessarily preparing themselves for him to leave, but I think they genuinely, as much as they want him back, they understand he's going to do what's best for him, and they're not going to be disappointed by it. or I should say upset by it. They will be disappointed if he leaves.
What were your thoughts from, and this could be Malik Monk or otherwise, and also shout out to Matt George, who most of you can hear is battling through a little sickness. So, Matt, we appreciate you. Our Thursdays aren't the same without you.
Yeah, man.
What were your takeaways from Mike and Monty yesterday?
It was funny. I turned to G-Man like at the end of Monty's press conference, and I said, remember when Monty came into the league, when he did his first press conference, it was during COVID. And so we did all of our press conferences with Monty digitally. Mm-hmm. And Monty at that time would do a 20 to 25 minute press conference and say absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And now he still does a very good job of not saying a lot, but he's opened up more.
I'm not going to get into that, Matt. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but
he gives you still a little bit, like he tips his cap a little bit, or kind of shows his hand a little bit. There weren't a ton of things that I took away from Monty. I think he kind of let it slip a little bit, although it wasn't that big of a slip when he said, like, I was much rather our pick had gone to Atlanta and be worrying about the OKC Thunder right now. And what he meant by that is the Kings would still be playing in the playoffs against OKC right now, is what he meant by that. So, I guess I took that away. I don't necessarily buy into his excitement for the offseason with the assets that the Kings have to improve the team, because you're about to lose, or very good chance you lose, your third best player. You were stuck with this draft pick that, and I don't think this organization wants another rookie right now. I mean, it's not that a rookie couldn't help them. It's just, that's not what this team needs right now. They need to use draft picks to go out and get Fox and Sabonis and this roster some help and some win now star power. But speaking of win now, I do think that was probably my biggest takeaway from the press conferences. I asked Monty about like the Western Conference and how much pressure is on you to make moves and try and compete with the best of the West right now, because they're not content with being a play-in team or even a sixth seed, right? They want to be, they're talking contending for a title at the beginning of the year. They want to be amongst the top of the Western Conference and secure home court advantage. They want to be where the Thunder and Nuggets and Timberwolves are right now. So I asked Monty about that, and I said, or do you kind of stay put and take the Denver Nuggets model and kind of just bet on eternal growth and stick with it and stay patient? And Monty basically said, like, we are built to win right now. So he made it very clear to where I think he gave fans the fuel that they need to where if he doesn't make moves this offseason, they can take his words, throw them right back at him and go, you said we're built to win right now, but we're not doing enough to win right now. So you're just wasting time. So I expect a busy offseason. I don't know what conversations are happening or have happened, but I'm also I'm a Monty McNair supporter big time, but I don't accept a we tried excuse anymore. Like, yeah, oh, we tried, we got this far, but it just didn't end up working out. Okay, like some other team was able to work it out. He also said he didn't regret the trade deadline, which the Dallas Mavericks completely turned themselves around because of the trade deadline, ended up beating you out of a playoff spot because of the trade deadline. Like, just standing put because the right move isn't out there, you don't have that time anymore. You don't have that patience. You're trying to compete right now.
I agree with you right now. I'll stall Monty out just a little bit for this summer and the trade deadline, because it feels like you did have that wiggle room to see, like, let's get with this group and see what they can do. And who knows what would have happened if Malik stayed healthy, might have been in the same exact scenario. But you had the wiggle room. But I'm with you and everybody else. That wiggle room is now gone. Mm. And like you mentioned, Matt, this summer's got to be a huge summer for Monty McNair. And it's got to be a huge summer also for some of these players. Like, they've got to – you know, De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, I think they had, you know, great all-NBA caliber seasons. But they got to feel the sting of not being in the playoffs after being there the year before and find ways to get better this offseason. Keegan Murray's got to find ways to get better this offseason. And everybody's got to come back knowing that it can happen again. And what I mean can happen again, you can miss the playoffs again. We talked about yesterday how I believe that – this team never for one second thought they weren't going to make the playoffs.
I agreed.
They always like, yeah, it's tough, but we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? We're a good team. We'll figure it out. And I understand that confidence. But they never for 1 second thought, yo, we could miss the playoffs. And that's what I mean when I say it could happen again. So don't take any of these games and any of these moments for granted this upcoming season. And don't take this time for granted this summer. I know they're working hard. They're going to work hard regardless. But a sense of urgency by everybody is what's needed, I think.
Yeah, spot on, Casey. I agree with you 100% because I didn't expect it up until the very last moment. Yeah. I didn't expect the Kings to lose in New Orleans and miss the playoffs. Like, I think I said it on your show. I had not allowed myself to imagine this team as not being a playoff team because I did not think that reality possible or likely based off of probably a preconceived notion and maybe a little ignorance of like you made the playoffs once, you're supposed to do it again. Like the Kings, Mike has talked to me all season long directly to me about like growth is not linear, right? And I'm the kind of person that when I start to climb, if I take a step back, it frustrates me. Like I want to just keep going up. It can be a slow pace, but I want to keep going up. I don't like to plateau and I certainly don't like to go down. And sometimes that's a lot of times in sports, that's unrealistic. But I did not expect us to be in this position where we're watching the first round and the Kings aren't part of it.
Some of us aren't. Some of ours is just like the hell with it. Or at least one particular series.
Game three is 12:30 on Saturday. I don't know if I'll be.
Oh, I'm absolutely not. Why? The game that was supposed to be a G1C?
Yeah.
Absolutely effing not. No, I'm going to be
doing. That would have been such a good series, too. Yeah. Oh, Thunder Kings.
Something else with my Saturday. Sit around and be miserable. Do you think, Matthew, that Mike's future is at all in question?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. I hope not. Like, the only way that Mike's future could be in question is if Monty's future is in question, because most general managers, if you fire a general manager and bring in a new one, that GM typically likes to bring in their own head coach. So that's the only way I would think. But Monty's job should not be in jeopardy at all, in my opinion. Mike Brown's job should be the furthest from in jeopardy. Like, just look at the history of coaches here in Sacramento. And I see this reaction from a lot of fans, and I get it because knee-jerk reaction. I certainly do it with specific things. But, like, it's like y'all forget the coaching carousel that we went through for damn near 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, just coach after coach after coach, instability. Mike Brown has been here for two seasons in the grand things is nothing to build a culture. Mike is just now starting to get the culture that he wants, at least on the defensive end. And he's getting the player buy-in and stuff. Like, think of all the coaches that De'Aaron Fox has been through here in Sacramento. You don't think he's relieved by knowing who his head coach and general manager are going to be every single summer and going into every season? Makes it a lot easier for Fox to step to the podium or step on the court or step in front of his teammates and say, this is what our coach wants. Let me echo what our coach is trying to say. Let's do this together. Because he has that confidence that those guys are still going to be there. So, like, look, there's been two successful coaches here in Sacramento, period. Rick Adelman and Mike Brown. Every other coach has not made the playoffs. Even some big names and guys that I love, like Mike Malone, Mike never really got the true chance to make the playoffs here in Sacramento, for being honest. He would have had they not fired him that year. I'm convinced of that. Kings would have made the playoffs that season had they not fired Mike Malone. Thanks, viral meningitis. That being said, like, Mike's should be the furthest from the hot seat. Now, if the Kings are abysmal next season and not because they're injury riddled and Monty McNair like had sat on his hands and didn't do anything to improve the team, they lost Malik, blah, 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 then you can start having those conversations. I don't think we should even be remotely considering those conversations right now. To me, the only reason those reports about Mike Brown's contract are coming up is because everybody believes that Mike is deserving of an extension. Mike believes he's deserving of an extension, and that extension should be getting done.
I'm with you 100%. We've had a number of different discussions on here since the season ended about the season. And was it a failure or was it just a disappointment? Did they learn some things this year? Did they maybe not as a whole – yeah, they're showing a view.
Man, Detroit is showing out right now.
They said there's 150,000 out there.
Yeah, Detroit is showing out right now. It looks incredible.
That's crazy.
It looks
incredible. Sorry, bachelorette parties in Detroit. I don't know
if that's it. Well, so, I've heard that is the place to go for a bachelorette party is Detroit.
That's the –
I wanted to go to the car museum.
So cold in the D. Wow. But
Pause. Thank you.
There's been a lot of discussion on – whether or not they learned things and were able to get better and maybe improve in some respects this year. What's your big takeaway from this year? Was it a failure? Was it a disappointment? Was it a combination of both? Did they set themselves up possibly to be a better team next year?
Yeah, failure. Not going that far because this team grew exponentially on the defensive end. They had stories like Keon Ellis, who is a bona fide rotation player and a piece that you've been looking for a long time. Domantas Sabonis had the year that he had. De'Aaron Fox had some great years. Keegan Murray grew exponentially as a defender and also showed the flashes of being that offensive player. To me, disappointing 100%, and that's a word that's echoed by the entire organization. They are very disappointed to be where they're at and not be playing right now, and I think that's fair. I've been more critical of the Kings this year than I expected to, but I also think that's because I held them to the standard that they put themselves at the start of this year. So I'm definitely, if there's like a little bit further than disappointment, I don't know what that word is. That's kind of where I'm.
Oh, we had our first official Matt George freeze.
I think that was a five.
We had our first. I don't know that you realize this, Matt. You've been on the verge like several times here during our conversation, but most of the time you're kicking out at 2.5. But the referee's hand went down a third time.
Roman got pinned.
The streak is over.
Damn it, Cody.
Sorry, Matt.
Am I good now?
You're fine.
Okay.
You're
on my four, end, I was just talking.
You're in 4K. He was fantastic.
Y'all just yelled at me. So I don't even remember what I was saying. Who cares?
It was good. You were talking about the
expectations that you have for this team.
Yeah, season was as disappointment as my internet connection. Next.
Okay, so let's do this because you said something I made note of a minute ago, and it wasn't about Mike. It was about Monty and how Monty has to have a successful offseason. We'll start with Malik, right? Malik coming back is the first step to a successful offseason. And obviously, you know, we'll need to adjust a little bit should Malik choose to go somewhere else because there's only so much Sacramento can do about that. But what does a successful offseason look like?
Boy.
And it's perfectly okay to not know the answer to that because we have tried to figure out. We have said names like Malcolm Brogdon and Malcolm Brogdon like players. We've discussed what, you know, the injury means for Kevin Huerter and what his future is with this team to begin with. What is Keon Ellis's role next year? If Keon is in fact the starting two guard, is that good enough? Is he a good enough scorer to keep up with what this team clearly needs to do offensively? There's, you know, it's only April, so we've got a long time before we have to answer these questions, but there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, one of the first things that comes to mind is you just need more wing depth, and that's such an easy thing to say because every team in the league is looking for those type of players. Like, every team wants a roster stacked with players like that because of situations like the New Orleans Pelicans, because when you do not have enough wing depth, length, and athleticism, you can have these matchup nightmares that Sacramento found themselves in, losing six times to the Pelicans this year. That is completely matchup based because of the type of players that the Pelicans have in abundance that Sacramento just does not have. So I couldn't give you names necessarily because, again, everybody's going to be looking for these type of players, but adding more depth and length and athleticism at that position I think is really, really important. I think the way I've been kind of setting this up for months, guys, is, to me, what is this season about? This past season, it's a disappointment, but how can it be turned into a positive? It's if Monty takes the context of the entire year and makes the roster decisions that are appropriate based off that context. So, like, to me, maybe bye-bye Kevin Huerter, right? How do you ship Kevin out and bring in a player that upgrades your depth? Because you're not looking for a starter replacement for Kevin, I don't think, because in theory, if Malik Monk is coming back, Malik's your starting too, right? I think we've kind of established that. So Kevin's starting spot is going to Malik if he resigns. So at that point, okay, I'm moving Kevin and trying to get a really good depth rotational shooter, unless I feel like Kevin can be that. And if he can, and if Mike wants to stick with Kevin in that kind of role, great. Maybe you go in that route. But I think the Kings have a lot of question marks on this roster of guys that you know can get you where you want to go versus guys that can't or haven't lived up to those expectations.
You know what I think another question is, Matt, just based off what you just – is it Kevin's starting spot or is it Keon's starting spot?
Good point. Good point. 100%. I mean,
and then, of course, the other side of that now, is it Malik's starting spot?
Well, Malik, he already got the starting spot for me. I will take time to decide if Malik comes back and wants to start, whether or not I go small three-guard lineup with Keon there at the three, or do I look for somebody else? I'm kind of leaning towards keeping Keon and going with three-guard lineup because I think he can handle guarding bigger wing players.
And take that a step further, KC, because my opinions of this player have shifted dramatically over the last month and a half. What about Davion? I thought for sure Davion was one of those players that the Kings were going to move on from. It just hadn't worked. It was disappointing. Like it just hadn't worked. He needs a fresh start. He was one of those guys that I felt you can attach to an HB or attach to a Kevin Huerter and go out and get a pretty good name and help sweeten that deal a little bit. Now, if you want to bring Davion and Keon as your backup point guard and shooting guard off the bench, again, you're running the risk of being too similar, but those two guys were implementing and doing the exact things that Mike Brown has been trying to do over the last month and a half, 2 months of the season. They were an integral part or a massively important part of the Kings finally playing to that defensive level that Sacramento was looking for. So again, it's a very, very fine line between keeping guys and running the same team back. You need to clearly make changes, but you don't have to cut your roster and have six new faces on this team. Maybe one, two, or three of the right guys is what this team needs. But can you get those three that actually are going to make an impact?
And we'll never find out because we're off to the NFL draft. No, we still got one more minute. I thought I timed it perfectly. I thought that was it. I thought we were firing the commercial break.
I thought it was too. I thought they said 54, but I had it at 50.
And Matt was and I had to cut Matt off. Damn it, Matt. I thought I did it. I thought we had the big grand out, and I was wrong.
Y'all asked me a question with like 3 minutes left in the show. That's your fault.
No, I know. Matt, there are so many things that are our fault. Yeah. Like, it's just not even calculable at this point.
That's fast. But not getting to the NFL draft on time will not be one of them.
It will absolutely not. So I'll stall out these last 15 seconds and tell you, make sure you're a subscriber to the Locked On Kings podcast. You can check out the television portion of the draft on ABC10, the home of Matt George, or you can check out the radio portion coming up next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.